Hare Krishna. So good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we will begin today at Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 48. Text 48. I believe is today's text. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atasthe yonyam ikatvam veta api pritagvida tatsthanam savimanagas tatratyam savam idrisham. Translation. Thus, although equals, they manifest individual variety. In that place, everything is so, including the profusion of airplanes. Commentary. Because the personality of Godhead wants to enjoy varied pastimes, his devotees, who are all essentially equal on the platform of pure spiritual existence, assume different forms and positions in his service. Even the apparently inanimate things of Vaikuntha are on the same transcendental nature. Thus, the airplanes, trees, houses, and so on are all perfect living beings, qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord and with all other living persons, and they appear in whatever forms the Lord requires for his pleasure. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Garanjana Salakaya Chaksho Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Kuroti Vachalam Hungum Bangayati Gadim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschachade Satarade Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse is very much connected to the verse that we read last time. I believe I jumped ahead one verse just to let everyone know that previously a question had been asked that about the forms that the residents of Vaikuntha appear in. And someone had asked the question, are they eternal forms? Are they eternally that form? Or do they simply adopt those forms to suit the Lord's pleasures? And we went the last verse, which is the last verse we read, that those devotees have attained the absolute limit of changelessness, yet they playfully show all kinds of transformations while taking part in their Lord's pastimes. Thus, although equals, they manifest individual variety. In that place, everything is so, including the profusion of airplanes. So this is just a continuation of that same point we spoke of last time. We also spoke last time, I believe it was the last class, where we talked about Gopakumar's concern that the mature Brahman may not fully comprehend his description of Vaikuntha, and therefore he was concerned that he didn't project an opinion upon what he was hearing by looking at it from an external point of view. And he also gave an example. We told the story about Giridhar Pandit and Pundarik Vidyaniti to illustrate that point. And just recapping what we discussed last time. And then now this verse, and there's still several more verses, which are still, so to speak, incidental parts of Gopakumara's conversation with the Mathura Brahman. He's really not speaking directly about his own account, his own story, he's simply describing the characteristics of Vaikuntha. And as I've been saying, I believe I've said it several times, that I wanted to get through these verses so that we could get to past the gate and enter into Vaikuntha, which was when Gopakumara would continue his personal account of his appearance in Vaikuntha with his escorts, the Vaikuntha Vasis, who would take him in through the various gates and bring him before the Lord of Vaikuntha. So there's a few verses left, simply again going on expanding about Vaikuntha, and I'm going to try to get through those verses today, and let's see how far we'll get. Although I do want to discuss one point, which is a substantial point, but I haven't gotten there yet. So I'm going to read more verses. Text 49. Kadachit svanaratnadi mayam tat tat pratiyate kadachit chagani bhuta chandra jyotsneva kakati. Sometimes that place appears full of riches, like gold and jewels. Sometimes its atmosphere appears chalk white, like a thick condensation of moonlight. Commentary. Gold, jewels, and moonlight are among the greatest fascinations in the material world, yet they only dimly reflect the infinitely varied attractions of the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Text 50. Katanchit tat prabhavena vigyatam syanna chanyata kahitum kilatad rupam manasapi nasakyate. Vaikuntha may be somehow understood only by its own spiritual influence and not otherwise. Indeed, even the mind cannot grasp its form. Commentary. One can understand the Lord of Vaikuntha and know the various locations of his pastimes only when he reveals himself by his special potencies, such as Karunya, mercy. Devotees favored by the Lord can use their spiritual intelligence to infer something about the nature of Vaikuntha by comparison with things they have seen, touched, and otherwise encountered in the material world. And devotees fully purified can perceive Vaikuntha directly. The external mind and senses, however, can never discern the spiritual existence. Therefore, has no right to speak as an authority on that existence unless one has been granted insight by the Lord's mercy potency. All the more reason why whenever I've been giving these descriptions of Vaikuntha, I've always been giving references from our previous acharyas, and they're giving their descriptions, and knowing that they have access, having realized Vaikuntha, and having realized it in a way which Gopakumar will describe in the next verse, which I want to get to the next verse, because Gopakumar is going to speak about that one has to have sufficient realization, beginning with hearing from the realized soul, but not only by hearing from the realized soul, but by adopting the methods the realized souls give to their dependents for gaining full realization. And Sanatana Goswami is going to explain in the commentary, in the next verse, we'll read it, but just to summarize it, he's going to explain that only hearing from realized souls, one can partially understand the depth and opulences and characteristics of Vaikuntha from hearing. And he's going to explain that the other most relevant part is qualifying oneself to experience it. We'll read that purport. But before we get to that, I wanted just to mention something which I felt was probably relevant for this purport. Because when I read this part, that devotees favored by the Lord can use their spiritual intelligence to infer something about the nature of Vaikuntha by comparison with things they have seen, touched, and otherwise encountered in the material world. And I was also reflecting that what have I encountered in the material world, which gives me a glimpse of what Vaikuntha is like. Now, of course, we can say by seeing the Achyamurti, seeing the beautiful form of the deities dressed opulently is one way, and by seeing the form, by touching the form, by serving the form of the Lord, who very kindly appears in that way, that is certainly one way to gain access into the personality of the Supreme Lord and his opulences. But another reference, which I found in my search, it came from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I wanted to read it. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5. And it's the text 50 through 54. And it's another example where Kaviraj Goswami is offering his obeisances to the lotus feet of Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation called Karana Dakshai Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy, and the shelter of all the universes. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and beyond that effulgence is the Karana ocean, or causal ocean. Surrounding Vaikuntha is a mass of water that is endless, unfathomed, and unlimited. The earth, water, fire, air, and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. Material elements are not found there. The water of the Karana ocean, which is the original cause, is therefore spiritual. The sacred Ganges, which is but a drop of it, purifies the fallen souls. So I understood from that reference that even earth, water, fire, air, and ether exist in Vaikuntha, and they are all spiritual. And the example is given of water, the Karana ocean, which is purely spiritual, and our understanding that the water, that Karana ocean, which enters into the universe in the form of the Ganges River, and anyone who is taking his bath in the Ganges is actually has some perception of entrance of by touching the Ganges water, drinking the Ganges water, taking bath in the Ganges water, seeing the Ganges water. It is something that we can employ our senses in of this world and enable us to understand the connection between the Ganges and the spiritual realm. And of course, we should see the Ganges in that way, and many instructions are given that we should always take that into consideration upon seeing the Ganges and offering obeisances to the Ganges and the respectful offerings that we make to the Ganges. We do so because we understand it is emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu, who's pierced the covering of the universe, and it's coming from the Karana ocean, which is described here as purely spiritual. So that is one example. Another example I was able to find as a reference of to help us understand that devotees favored by the Lord can use their spiritual intelligence to infer something about the nature of Vaikuntha by comparison with things they have seen, touched, and otherwise encountered in the material world. So that's all I'm going to say in that connection. And I'm going to go to the next verse. Nakaschid prabhaved bodhum samyak svanu bhavam vina itan matram hisaketa nirupayatum anjasa. Except by direct experience, no one can rightly understand Vaikuntha. No more than this can I accurately describe. Commentary. A conditioned soul may discover the transcendental world of Vaikuntha, but only if he sees that higher reality for himself. By hearing from someone who has seen Vaikuntha, one may gain only a glimmer of understanding. Nonetheless, when a devotee aspiring for the Lord's service hears the pure instructions of his self-realized spiritual master and faithfully practices the disciplines such a guru recommends, the devotee gradually becomes pure in heart. And when his faith sufficiently matures, he can see the spiritual world. Only by that direct perception does knowledge become perfect. Casual hearing, even from those who have seen the truth, is not enough. One must become a disciple of such an authority and accept the disciplines that lead to self-realization. Now, in explaining this, I spoke about this the other day to the devotees, to the Russian-speaking devotees. I did not speak it to the English-speaking devotees. I'm going to repeat some of that today, which is our understanding that we get from the realization Srila Sanatana Goswami was able to experience by his own example from hearing from Lord Chaitanya. Now, as we explained the other day, and we repeat it today, that Sanatana Goswami is an eternal associate of the Lord. He has his form, Sadaka Sarira, it's called. It's his Sadaka form as Sanatana Goswami. But in the case of Sanatana Goswami, his sadhaka form is eternal, because he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya as Sanatan Goswami, and in Lord Chaitanya's eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. But when we talk about a sadhaka form, although we may be ourselves aspiring sadhakas, our forms, our sadhaka forms, they're not eternal forms. They're just temporary forms, and that we are being given the opportunity to utilize our mind, our senses, our words, and the service of the Lord by humble submission to the spiritual master in devotional service. And by that humble submission, as described here in this purport, one is able to gain, by continuous hearing the transcendental shabda from the lotus lips of the spiritual master, and by following one's instructions and taking full shelter, one can gradually gain access to transcendental realization. Now, in the case of Sanatana Goswami, he manifested his, he manifests his sadhaka surya, his sadhaka form, and by that, in that form, he shows what a devotee, aspiring devotee, aspiring sadhaka should do by accepting a spiritual master, inquiring from the spiritual master, taking shelter from the spiritual master, receiving instructions from the spiritual master which relate to the transcendental realm, which is beyond the experience of the sadhaka, although in Sanatana Goswami's case, it's not beyond his experience. He's fully self-realized. Not only that, but in his siddha svarup, he's Lavanga Manjari. And that is his eternal form in Krishna Lila, and his Sanatana Goswami in Lord Chaitanya's Lila. And they're the same person, and who descends to assist Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes when he descends into this world. So because he's an eternal associate, he's fully self-realized, obviously, but nonetheless, in his form as a sadhaka, he teaches what a sadhaka should do in order to gain the realization of transcendence. And all of this is described in many places. It's described in the beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which I want to read a reference from the very, very beginning of the first chapter in the first volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And it's also elaborately described in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Sanatana Goswami went to Varanasi. He took shelter of Lord Chaitanya. He inquired from Lord Chaitanya by describing himself as being unfit because he didn't even know who he was, and therefore being unfit in that way, he submitted himself to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya as to please instruct him that some people feel that I'm very advanced, I'm elevated, I'm highly knowledgeable, but I don't even know who I am. Can you please tell me who I am? Please instruct me. And Lord Chaitanya, for two continuous months, instructed Sanatana Goswami. Now, so when we say, why did Lord Chaitanya instruct Sanatana Goswami? Not only did he instruct Sanatana Goswami, but he instructed Rupa Goswami, who's also an eternal associate of the Lord as Rupa Goswami, and who's also Rupa Manjari in Krishna Lila. But still, he instructed Rupa Goswami, and is described by Kaviraj Goswami, just as Lord Brahma was received all the depths of Vedic wisdom within the heart by mercy of the Supreme Lord who manifested the depth of Vedic knowledge within his heart. In the same way, he entered the heart of Rupa Goswami and made him fully realize soul. In fact, I'll read that verse because it's very nice, because in that purport, not only does Prabhupada speak about Rupa Goswami, but he speaks about Sanatana Goswami, both. He says that Sri Rupa Hriday, I used to know this verse, but I've forgotten it over the years. It's a very wonderful verse. Sri Rupa Hridaye Prabhu Shakti Sancharila Sarva Tattva Nirupani Prabhina Karila. By entering the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truths. He made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the principles of devotional service are only apparently under the jurisdiction of material activity. To be rightly guided, one must be personally guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the case with Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and other acharyas. So, in Sanatana Goswami, in his Sadaka Sarira, he submitted himself to Lord Chaitanya, and he credits, in the beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, his ability to describe everything that he's so beautifully describing in a very realized way by taking the various verses from Shastra, weaving those verses together, and weaving the statements from Lord Chaitanya, things that he's heard from the Lord Chaitanya in his discussion with Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi. And he's presenting all this in a very realized way. Why? Because he took shelter of Lord Chaitanya and he heard from Lord Chaitanya the descriptions of Vaikuntha, as we will read. And because he fully dedicated himself to the service of Lord Chaitanya and so many different examples which we've already previously spoken about, such as going to Vrindavan, such as writing Brihad Bhagavatamrita and writing transcendental literatures, excavating the places in Vrindavan, and when Sanatana Goswami wanted to give up his body because of the bodily sores and he didn't want to Lord Chaitanya to touch him, and he was feeling so bad about the fact, and Lord Chaitanya said, no, you cannot give up your body. Don't you know you can't take away something you've already given? You've given that body to me, and I have many plans for that body, and I have many plans that I want you to execute for me, and excavating the places of Vrindavan, teaching your renunciation, teaching the lifestyle of a sannyasi, all these things I want to teach the world through you. So how can you think of giving up that body? So Sanatana Goswami took shelter of Lord Chaitanya, served Lord Chaitanya in this way. And therefore he describes in the beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's one very nice verse. Very nice verse. Wait, maybe I hope I have it here. It's in the, yes. It's in the first volume, first chapter, text 11. And Sanatana Goswami says, this book collects the essence of the scriptures teaching devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord. These essential teachings I have personally realized under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I received them from his dear devotee, Sri Rupa. He gives credit to Rupa, although Rupa Goswami considers Sanatana Goswami his superior. Here, Sanatana Goswami is giving credit to Rupa Goswami, saying that I understand it. I've understood so many of these required realizations by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is a nice commentary. And because we have the English speaking class today, I'll take advantage of reading the commentary. Having praised Lord Sri Krishna, his best devotees, his personal abode, and his devotional service, Srila Sanatana Goswami now introduces the theme of his book. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita is not speculative fiction or fantasy. It is authoritative because it distills from the Vedic literature the essential teachings that describe the pure science of rendering loving service to the Supreme Person. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita sometimes quotes scriptural texts directly, sometimes interweaves selected phrases and words, sometimes paraphrases to express scriptural ideas. The author, Srila Sanatana Goswami, an unalloyed devotee with no material motives, has fully realized the science of Prema Bhakti. He has expertly molded the presentation in elegant poetry, transparently, without superfluous impositions of his own. In trying to translate and explain this great work in English, and in trying to, this is simply the author, the translator, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu is here also expressing, in trying to translate and explain this great work in English and in trying to understand it properly, we can only pray to Srila Sanatana Goswami for the spiritual strength to carry out in good faith our respective responsibilities as translator and as readers. How has Srila Sanatana Goswami been able to collect the gist of the many devotional scriptures under one title? For years, he diligently engaged his mind in studying many scriptures and engaged his heart in devotional meditation. He conducted this outward and inward research under the compassionate guidance and protection of the Lord of Consciousness, Chaitanya Dev. Krishna's expansion as the Super Soul, Sri Vasudev. Chaitanya Deva is the word that Sanatana Goswami uses in the verse, and it's simply being here used again in the commentary. Srila Sanatana Goswami imbibed the full mercy of Lord Vasudev by meditating upon him and actively serving him in his transcendental activities as the Supreme Person, Sri Krishna, Nanda Nandana, who enjoys playing his flute and whose charming body bends in three places. By the causeless mercy of Sri Krishna, one can successfully fix one's attention on him and with higher vision see for oneself the purports of all revealed knowledge. It's a little more, but I'm going to stop there for this purport. I wanted to read simply one other short purport from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's just a few verses ahead. And in this short purport is also expanding upon Srila Sanatana Goswami's qualification for revealing Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It is stated in this verse, which is three verses ahead from the verse I just read, which is first chapter, 11th verse. This is the 14th verse. In the commentary, it states that Srila Sanatana Goswami is a transcendental genius, an eternal resident of Goloka Vrindavan, and an intimate companion of the personality of Godhead's internal pleasure potency. He can easily perceive anything he wants to in the past, present, or future, including lost scriptures from previous ages. If we have confidence in this, we shall discover in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita more than the subtle sense gratification sometimes called, quote, nectar by immature devotees. We shall discover our own eternal selves. So another little piece of evidence of Srila Sanatana Goswami. It is also a point is brought to light here that Srila Sanatana Goswami is a transcendental genius and an intimate companion of the personality of God, his internal pleasure potency. As we understand that as Lavanga Manjari, he is, I'm not going to take questions this way, Gita Mala, forgive me. Distraction. I'll try to answer it in some other form at another time. because it distracts me. what was that? Oh yes, Srila Sanatana Goswami is described here is the intimate companion of the personality of God, his internal pleasure potency. In other words, he's a Manjari, he's Lavanga Manjari, and his service as Lavanga Manjari is a servant to Srimati Radharani, as Manjaris, they are very confidential servants of Srimati Radharani, and that is described, they are able to do as Manjaris very confidential service, which even some of Radharani's Sakyas cannot do. And not only that, but as a Manjari, that Radharani has a very special intimate relationship with Lavanga Manjari. She may sometimes instruct her, may sometimes even chastise her. And of course, for Manjari, that is something that is very, very relishable in that intimate confidential service to Radharani. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. He has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in none other than the mood of Srimati Radharani. And of course, anybody who understands the mood that Lord Chaitanya appears in and renders service, intimate confidential service to Lord Chaitanya, then yata yata gaura padara vinde, as described, to the degree that one renders service to Lord Chaitanya, to that degree that one can understand and enter into understanding the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya has very kindly appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Sanatana Goswami, as we already described in the very beginning, is a very intimate associate and servant of Lord Chaitanya. So because of his intimate association, his intimate service, as this verse is describing, he is fully qualified. He's to reveal even scriptures which have been lost in time. He's Sri Kalagya, he's all-knowing. He can certainly give us this evidence and this narrations and descriptions of Vaikuntha because he knows, he's realized it. As he said himself, he's realized it because he took shelter and rendered service to Lord Chaitanya. Not only did he realize it because he took shelter of Lord Chaitanya, but another very, very important point that I simply want to bring to light, and then we'll end on this point, but it's an important point, that Lord Chaitanya, in his discussions with Sanatana Goswami, he spoke about the opulences of the Lord, he spoke about the sweetness of the Lord, he spoke about the different incarnations of the Lord, and he spoke about Vaikuntha and its descriptions of Vaikuntha. All these are given by Kaviraj Goswami and Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. And there are many verses in Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami where he describes Vaikuntha. So he's also heard directly from his worshipful master, who he's accepted in his sadaka form as Sanatana Goswami, submitted himself to, rendered confidential service to, and heard from, and took complete shelter from, and who was also expanding on and repeating that which he heard and realized right from the lips of Lord Chaitanya in their discussions in Varanasi. So this is also giving evidence to this verse spoken today that, and I want to read those verses. As I said, we'll end on those verses. They're short verses. But here it is stated that by hearing from someone who has seen Vaikuntha, one may gain only a glimmer of understanding. Nonetheless, when a devotee aspiring for the Lord's service hears the pure instructions of his self-realized spiritual master and faithfully practices the disciplines such a guru recommends, the devotee gradually becomes pure in heart, and when his faith sufficiently matures, he can see the spiritual world. Only by that direct perception does knowledge become perfect. Only by casual hearing, even from those who have seen the truth, is not enough. One must become a disciple of such an authority and accept the disciplines that lead to self-realization. And I'm simply using Sanatan Goswami as the perfect example, as that who's taught by everything he's written, taught by everything he did in his association to Lord Chaitanya, in his service to Lord Chaitanya, and who taught in his form as a sadhaka, as an eternal associate in that form, who's taught how to gain entrance into understanding the spiritual world and the confidential services of the spiritual world. It's actually explained also by Sanatana Goswami that if one wants to understand Vaikuntha, the word that is used, I'm not sure if, yes, it's in this verse we just spoke about. It's Samyak Svanubhavam Vina. The word is Svanubhava. Svanubhava means by one's personal experience. Anubhava means by Sva, by one's personal experience. And the word Anubhava expanded upon to mean that when one actually fixes his mind on the object of his meditation, which, wherever it may be, his Ishtadev, his worshipful deity, the residents of Vaikuntha, and he understands their mood of service, he imbibes their mood of service in his meditation, and he becomes so much absorbed in that mood of service that he doesn't know anything else besides that mode of service. He enters into it so completely, and that not only that, but that by that mood of service, that service itself is so potent that by the mercy of the service itself then further brings one along and reveals one's service by dint of anubhava, which means sva-anubhava, one's personal absorption. So essentially what this means is that devotional service, in order for it to become realized, it requires absorption. It's a very important point about devotional service. Are we absorbed? To the degree that we're absorbed, to the degree we can actually begin to get a glimpse of that which we're trying to understand, trying to realize. But it requires absorption, whether by hearing, absorption by speaking, absorption by remembering, absorption by chanting. But absorption in transcendental service and the object of our service is what actually, that is sva-anubhava, that enables one to gradually lead one to direct perception of that transcendental realm which one is aspiring to absorption, either through prayer, because prayer is another powerful method to become absorbed. There are 9 processes of devotional service in which we can become absorbed. Any one of them, all 9 of them, but that is our method for entrance. So this is another point which is elaborated on in reference to this verse, that Sanatana Goswami, he was absorbed, totally absorbed, and taught by his absorption how to gain realization of the transcendental world. Now, I want to just, as I said, I wanted to end, and I just wanted to read just a few of the verses that Sanatana Goswami heard from Lord Chaitanya. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Offering my obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me describe a particle of his opulence and sweetness. He is most valuable for a fallen conditioned soul bereft of spiritual knowledge, and he is the only shelter for those who do not know the real goal of life. Text 3. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatana Goswami. All the transcendental forms of the Lord are situated in the spiritual sky. They preside over spiritual planets in that abode, but there is no counting those Vaikuntha planets. The breadth of each Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles multiplied by 100, by 1,000, by 10,000, by 100,000, by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is expanded beyond our ability to measure. Each Vaikuntha planet is very large, and each is made of spiritual bliss. The inhabitants are all associates of the Supreme Lord, and they have full opulence like the Lord himself. This is how the Vaikuntha planets are all situated. Since all the Vaikuntha planets are located in a certain corner of the spiritual sky, who can measure the spiritual sky? The shape of the spiritual sky is compared to a lotus flower. The topmost region of that flower is called the whorl, and within that whorl is Krishna's abode. The petals of the spiritual lotus flower consist of many Vaikuntha planets. Each Vaikuntha planet is full of spiritual bliss, complete opulence and space, and each is inhabited by incarnations. If Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot estimate the length and breadth of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets, how can ordinary living entities begin to imagine them? Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatana Goswami. O Supreme Great One, and this is a quote from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these worlds, but who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing your pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of these activities. I'm going to end there on verse 9. There are more verses in that chapter, chapter 21, Madhyalila, and Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami about Vaikuntha. And then he's going to go on describing more about the opulences and then the sweetness of Krishna's manifestation. And this is just, as I said, a little expansion on this verse about how to understand Vaikuntha. There's no other way, even if we hear about it, as Sanatana Goswami said, a casual hearing won't work, even if it's somebody who's fully self-realized and fully seen it and can speak from that realization, that one actually has to accept the disciplines prescribed to gain by absorption, to gain the opportunity to fully realize it. And that is why Gopa Kumar is saying to the mature Brahman, essentially what he's saying, I'm going to stop here. I can only bring you so far. I'm going to stop here. And for you to go further, you're going to have to see it for yourself. Of course, as we know, Gopa Kumar, he sees it, but he's going to see more by dint of his absorption, because he has his Ishtadev, because he has his particular mood of service, because he has particular attractiveness, attraction towards Madan Gopal, and a specific attraction to that particular place which is beyond that place which he'll personally see and experience in Vaikuntha. And because by dint of his meditation, not only by his experiences directly with Madan Gopal, but by dint of the mantra that he's chanting, which is meant to bring him to that place which is his object of worship, and which he is also suitably absorbed in, as he's very perfectly displayed again and again and again. Wherever he went, he always went back to his mantra. He always faithfully chanted that mantra. He always remembered the instructions that were given to him for chanting that mantra. And because that mantra specifically was the mantra which was meant to give him the association with Lord Madan Gopal, for which he appeared in Mathura in a cowherd boy's body with the flute, with the clothes of a cowherd boy, which he didn't have to give up, and which he kept wherever he went throughout his whole journey. And even when Vaikuntha, when everybody was challenging him, saying, why don't you give up that dress? Or, you know, why you? No, he was absorbed. He was absorbed. And because of that absorption, he got the opportunity to realize that place and to gain entrance into that relationship with his worshipful Ishtadev, who was his object of worship. And he's trying to give us, through this whole narration, Sanatana Goswami is trying to give us also the glimpse of that transcendental abode through his sharing of his realizations in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita through the story of Gopa Kumar. So we will stop there, and we will chant for a little while, and we will begin. I'll continue on today's Saturday, right? Yeah. We'll continue on Wednesday with text 52. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Govarda Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So we will end here. I made a mistake. I'll see all of you again on Monday. I think I said Wednesday. But it's Monday. Is the next time we'll have the English class. And we'll simply end here in our traditional way. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu
Nityananda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Jai Guru Maharaj.
Jai.